Welcome to Physique Star Radio, hosted by Ian Lauer. Physique Star Radio brings you wall-to-wall coverage of NPC and IFBB men's physique competitions, personalities, competitors, lifestyles, training, and all the latest news you can ask for. Now, here's your host, Ian Lauer.
Welcome to Physique Star Radio, where we help you build your best physique and make it work for you. I'm your host, Ian Lauer. I have an excellent show lined up for you today. Dwayne Brickhouse, IFBB Pro, will be on with us in a little bit, and then Jim Holcomb will be on the line as well. Both of these gentlemen are IFBB Pros, as I mentioned, and they're competing this next weekend, the Greater Gulf States Pro Show. Again, that's this coming weekend, so if you're looking for a pro show to attend to check it out, that's the place to go. But before we bring them on, we want to talk about what happened this past weekend. As you may or may not be aware, it was the Junior Nationals that took place, and this is the second show this year where NPC competitors had the ability to turn pro. And those gentlemen turning pro this year at this particular show were Yoshi Manley, TJ Murray, Paul Petroni, George Marino, Sharif Ali Khan, and Frank Griffin. Gentlemen, if I'm massacring your names, my apologies. So those are your pro winners, and TJ Murray took home the overall prize as well. As we look at the top five through all the classes, Class A was Yoshi Manley, Ty Tran, Daryl McKee, Miko Banach, Jason McNeely, first through fifth. Class B, TJ Murray, Henry James, George Bianchi, William Kitchen, Derek Blevins. Class C, Paul Petroni, Sean Standrich, Roderick Gaines, Michael Young, Xavier Kelly. And again, these are all first through fifth place. And every one of these classes was monstrous. I mean, 16 plus for every single group that I'm seeing at this point. D, we had Brent Jones, Fole Hai Dania. Boy, that's a tough one. Jorge Marino, Banner Budden, Alex Atanasov, and he was in fifth. E, we had Sharif Alakian, George Gonzalez, Anwar Goladay, Deverell Maxwell, and Chaz Williams. Now, some of these names you've seen before, they keep popping up, and you're seeing them climb up the ranks, and it's good to see these guys sticking with it, working towards that pro card. And in F, we had Frank Griffin, David Rayday, Bronson Colbert, James Furlow, and Justin Williams. So those are your top five for each group. And again, the new pro card earners are Yoshi Manley, TJ Murray, Paul Petroni, Jorge Marino, Sharif Ali Khan, and Frank Griffin, with TJ Murray taking the overall. Now that we know who are the new pros are, let's talk to the guys that have been in the game for a while. With us now is IFBB Pro and men's physique contributor to our site. You might want to check out his articles. He recently had one come out about leg training to dispel the myth and tell you how to train those legs. With us now is Dwayne Brickhouse. Dwayne, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ian. I appreciate it. Glad to be on.
Yeah, good to have you here. So we're talking, let's get right into it, talking about leg training. I mean, obviously, you know what you hear out there, and that's from people that are ignorant. So let's talk about how we build the legs under the shorts.
Right, I'd love to. So my first half of the article was about hamstrings and calves, because I like to split up my leg training because I need to put a lot of focus there.
Okay,
so
hamstrings and... Before we get too far into that, why do you separate versus just having a single leg day? What's your theory behind that?
Primarily because I think over the years I probably put a lot of focus, not dispelling the myth, but a lot of focus on my upper body. And as I've learned more about training and learned more about my body, I realized that really to help the entire body grow, I really need to put a focus on legs.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, since that's my biggest target area right now, I just feel like to put a better focus on each part, I need to split it up.
Okay, very good. And so you were saying your first article focused primarily on hamstrings, calves?
Correct.
And can you tell us a little bit about a typical workout that you would do for those groups?
All right, so my main two workouts for hamstrings are going to be Romanian deadlifts and then hamstring curls. So mm-hmm. For me, I found the best thing that works out for me is to superset them. So I go back and forth. Okay. So I spend a lot of my time going back and forth between those two movements. But also, one other big thing for me with legs is I like to make sure I warm up really well. So although I don't do a ton of cardio because I stay fairly lean, on leg days, I definitely start off with elliptical, stair climber, really just to get my legs warmed up before I start going.
One of the things that I wanted to hit on there, though, was that if you warm up for too long, so at least the way I look at it, if you go more than 10 minutes in your warm up, then you're going to be sapping that energy you need to put out a quality workout. So are you going a long warm up, or do you go really mild in pace so that you still have energy? How do you go about it?
I go fairly mild with it. I don't do any more than 10 minutes, usually anywhere from 5 to 10. Like I said, elliptical. If I'm going on elliptical, I just do an interval setting, not too heavy. And then if I do a treadmill, I'll just do an incline and get a nice brisk walk going for about 5 to 10 minutes.
Okay, so nothing insane is going to take and sap your energy to where you won't have the energy to really break down those muscles during the actual lift itself.
Exactly. Just enough to get them warmed up so I can get full range of motion and really not hurt myself as I'm doing some of these exercises.
Well, and it's an interesting idea. And of course, the old days, it was stretch before you lift. And then we got a little smarter to where it was warm up before you lift, stretch after. And, you know, there is, of course, some research showing what you should and shouldn't do. And then, of course, there's always contradictory research that comes out 3 hours following. So,
of course.
One of my favorite ways to warm up is actually just with light weight of whatever it is you're doing, going through that same movement. But I do understand and believe in the merit of at least getting the body temperature up a little bit, getting the blood flowing with a mild warm-up like you're talking about.
Yep, and I fully agree with you on that as well. On my quad day, which is the second part of my leg workout, second day of my leg workout, I use a leg extension. I still do a little bit of cardio, again, not too much. But my workout, my warm-up is primarily, leg extension, and then I superset it with just prisoner squats.
Okay.
Bodyweight prisoner squats.
And for our listeners that may not be 100% aware of what the prisoner squat is, or maybe they just haven't spent, maybe they haven't been sentenced to over a year to where they're in the penitentiary, can you tell us exactly what that is?
Absolutely. So, again, as I said, body weight, but you're taking your hands, you're clasping them behind that back of your head, mm-hmm. and then you're just lowering yourself into a regular squat motion, just like if you had a bar over your back. Mm-hmm. Obviously, keeping your body upright, keeping your back straight, and using good form throughout it. I usually go a little bit of a quicker pace just to really get my heart going and get my legs warmed up.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you doing other compound movements with either of these workouts, or are you strictly doing isolation style exercises? Other than, of course, the prisoner squat.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing squats. I mean, to me, that's one of the main workouts that you, I mean, not workouts, but one of the main things that you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you really want a complete body, you have to do squats. I mean, that's working in addition to your legs. It's really working your core. You're working your lower back.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably my primary move there for the quad day.
Well, I do want to throw this in there because with the guys I work with, after getting enough inquiries about training people, I started taking on some clients for competition prep. And one of the things my guys have noticed, hopefully, or if they ask, I explain to them why, but I'll just throw this out there. I'm a firm believer in squats as well year round. But what I will do is 1 to 2 weeks out, normally it falls about 10, 12 days, I will cut the squats and throw in leg press instead. And the theory behind that is we want to get rid of any extra inflammation in that midsection, and that requires reducing activation of that musculature in the midsection. And one of the mm-hmm. exercises that does really activate all of that, of course, is a squat or a deadlift. So those movements I do love, and I do them. Oh, I love you, squats and deadlifts. I do them year-round, but at the same time, I will pull them out briefly. Immediately prior to a competition for that reason. Do you agree with that, or do you find that you think that's just a little obsessive compulsive? You can argue with me. That's okay.
Well, you know what? Everyone has to, at the end of the day, everyone has to figure out what works best for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that can fluctuate depending on the person. I do agree with you that with squats and deadlifts, you want to make sure you're not doing so much weight that you're going to thicken your waist out. I always use a belt to make sure that I have that type of support, but I do lower the weight when mm-hmm. I get closer to a competition.
Well, you naturally have a pretty small waist too, Dwayne. I mean, you have a good small waist, and it's something to be considered too, depending on what your genetic predisposition is for musculature. I mean, with someone that has a small waist naturally, it's not as big of a deal. But if someone's a little wider naturally, then that's when you have to hit it with all energies. At least that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but everyone sees all the press that gets put out about these types of things. So as you get close to a competition, I think we're all a little bit superstitious. So there's certain things that we try to focus on and make sure we don't screw up at that last minute.
Listeners, are you hearing this? Dwayne is calling me superstitious just because I wear the same the same board shorts, my Decor board shorts, at every single show. He's saying I'm superstitious. I see how it is, buddy.
Hey, I wear the same sweatpants after I train, so I get it.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm going to keep joking because I enjoy it. But I've had the same. I had to get different pajama pants after my tan because I lost the other one somewhere. But I've had the same overshirt that I wear after a tan. I don't have any of these fancy, oh, I went to the Olympia or my sponsor has me in an embroidered gold lace top. I don't have those. I have this same old Target shirt that's been around for years.
But you could do like me and just get shirts with your name put on them.
I should. I really should, but... But I just, you know, it's one of those things, I think it's habit more than anything. I get the old trusty shirt out, and I mean, it really was gray to start with, but now it's just straight tan from all the tanner, no matter how many times we wash it. It's just in there.
I know how that goes.
It's like that spaghetti sauce. It's in there. I mean, that's my liquid sun rays, they're in there. So, you know.
Hey, but to that point, do you find that a lot of us do seem to be somewhat superstitious on how we approach a show?
Well, you know, I think that this sport in particular lends itself to it because we have to be so meticulous when it comes to diet at the end that it's, of course, going to spread into other things as well. So many things are you know what you need to do, and then you fall into a habit as a result. It may be food. It may be your skin prep. You know, you need to scrub twice. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to make sure that you don't use deodorant for 48 hours going into, like, all these things. So it's
right.
It's not a surprise that people become neurotic about their prep for shows.
Absolutely.
Bunch of oddballs. You're all a bunch of oddballs. And I can say that because I'm one too.
Right.
Oh, man. So, you know, Dwayne, we kind of hit the ground running here. For our listeners, maybe they haven't checked out your articles yet or they haven't been looking at the shows. Now, you and I met. Was it at Kentucky when we actually first had a little time to talk? Or did we talk?
That's the first time we competed against each other. We talked a little bit there. But we actually originally met at the Olympia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. That's right. I was hiding. I was coming off of a deathly illness and was fat, skinny, flat. Yeah, okay. Well, I ask that because our listeners may not know who you are yet. So tell them a little bit about yourself and how you got into physique.
Sure. I'm just to go about myself first, I am a married father of four daughters.
Holy hotel.
18. Oh, yeah, four daughters.
Dwayne, you know what? We got to cut that short. You got four daughters to take care of. I'll talk to you later, buddy. Happy belated Father's Day. No, please continue, Dad.
Thank you, sir. Yep, four daughters ranging in age from 18 to 4. So I have a nice little range going.
How old are you, Dwayne?
I am 38.
No kidding.
Yeah, 38 years old. Just turned 38 a month ago.
You know what? That explains your discipline and your ability to get articles in every month. You understand discipline. You know, it's like someone's 20 years old, 22 years old, and they fall off the face of the earth. So that explains it. Okay, please continue.
Yep. Sure. So as far as competing, I started getting, fitness magazines many years ago, started getting into the gym. And a few years back, probably about 4 years ago, I was able to go to the Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
Which was the first bodybuilding show that I went to. So no regional shows, no national shows. First show I went to was the Olympia. And so in watching the Olympia, seeing, the greats up there, the bodybuilders, I just wanted to be a part of it, being in that environment, hearing people push themselves to the limit and really just be the best they could, really inspired me to want to play a part in that. And also, that was the first year for the model search at the Olympia.
Oh, yeah, I did that one, actually. Very cool.
Yeah, so I saw Steve Cook win.
Yep, so did I from the back line.
Well, I was in the crowd, so I wasn't up there. And I thought to myself, you know, that's something that I could maybe aspire to. So it took a while. Got a lot of support from my wife, got a lot of support from friends and family. And then 2 years later, I competed. So 2012,
mm-hmm.
I did the Muscle and Fitness model search, and I won. Mm-hmm. So after doing that, which was my first time on stage, first time posing, first time doing anything, again, I met a ton of great people. It was an awesome experience, and it was really something that I wanted to do again. So I did my first NPC show probably a month later out in Baltimore, which is where I live, mm-hmm. and I was able to win that one. So again, just like with the model search, I just met so many people in the area and so many competitors, be it physique, bodybuilding, whatever, that were just, they were great to be around. And I just had to be a part of that environment. And that's, the rest is history.
You know, that's one of the great things about our division is that, I mean, of course, it's very competitive at this point. And you're starting to see the guys that are you know, everybody's going to butt heads a little bit occasionally. But from the beginning, there's been a definite strong camaraderie. I think mm-hmm. as being around this division from the beginning, we had to bring a sort of validation to our group. Mm-hmm. And I think to make that happen, we really did band together. Though we were competing against one another, and it's really, I mean, really we're competing against ourselves. But though, you know, stepping on stage, you still want to win and beat the guy next to you. But there was still Absolutely. A unified front across the board of competitors. And then those that just didn't have the balls, they jumped ship and went to another federation. But that's neither here nor there. It's just the unified front for those guys that really were part of the forming of this and continue to elevate and propel this division has just been incredible.
Yeah, and people really, I tell people about it all the time. Again, as you said, not everyone is best friends, but I don't think people realize how supportive people are of one another.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, everybody wants to win, but I'm very happy to see some of my friends that I've kind of come through the ranks with do well and excel as well, whether I'm winning or not. As you said, it is about competing against yourself at the end of the day. And, you know, you'll go through a show, you'll place however you place, but then you also look at how you look at this show to how you looked at the last show to how you looked before that, and you just want to keep improving.
Right. Well, I mean, I can tell you from personal experience, the Mile High a couple of weeks ago was my worst ever placing in my competitive history in like 20 shows, 20 times I've been on stage. Mm-hmm. First time was the model search, and I did a number of local level shows, and I think 7 pro qualifiers. I've been on the pro stage 8 times, give or take. My worst placement ever. But I won because it really was the best physique I've ever put on the stage. And nobody can take that away from you. And, you know, that's not just loser talk. That's true talk. And that's what it's really about in the end. Because it's your physique, your attitude, and your persona that's going to land you work in the end. So that goes back to competing against yourself.
Right. Yeah, I did the I've done 2 shows so far this year, the Europa, mm-hmm. Which I got 16th place, and you know, I felt like I'd never looked better.
Yep.
And I was ecstatic. I was thrilled. A few weeks later I did the Pittsburgh Pro, and I feel like I didn't look my best. Same placement, but I was bummed.
Yeah.
So same place. One day I'm excited. The next day I'm not as happy because I didn't perform well, in my opinion.
Yep. Well, and that's the true competitor in you coming out, not the "oh, please like me" competitor that you see so much of. It. I mean, that's what I love is the temper tantrums. And don't get me wrong, I get pissed off for like an hour and I eat and then I'm good. But it blows my mind how, you know, a lot of guys, they get their first places at a local, they get their first places at a national, they're pro, and then next thing you know, they don't win a show, and then they start crying to mommy. And,
right,
you know, mommy can only tell you how handsome you are, how muscular you are so many times until you have to look inside yourself and find out why you compete.
No,
I'm on
right.
a rant and, today. You know, Dwayne, I'm sorry. I brought you into my personal storm over here.
But I get it, you know. Your friends are always going to tell you, your friend, your mother, your wife, whoever, your spouse, are always going to tell you that you look great. But, you know, when you go through some of these shows, and you're right, you get first places, you get second places, you win overall, then you go to another show and you don't do as well. You kind of look at it. Like me, I look at the crowd, I look at the people that participated, and everyone looks great. People mm-hmm. are coming in looking phenomenal at this point. And I can't say I look at those shows and say, you know what, I should have gotten first place.
Right.
Or I don't understand why that guy got first place. So you move on.
Yep.
You look at how you did. You look at how you compared to your last shows, what you can do better, because you always can do something better, and you move on.
And this is not to say we obviously don't want to win, but...
I want to win.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you're right. At these shows at this level now, all the guys coming in do look great. And it's hard. I mean, I don't feel bad for the judges, but at the same time, I understand their predicament, because it is not an easy... It's not easy. And, of course, you know, the fact that they only get to really see about two-thirds to three-quarters of her body. I mean, you can kind of tell what's going on with the shape
right.
on shorts, but at the same time, you're really losing so much of the body to judge. It's a very difficult thing to try to judge these shows.
Mm-hmm. It is. I can only imagine. I mean, because you look at, we did Kentucky together, 34 competitors, I believe, or 27 maybe,
yep.
however many it was.
Yep.
I would say, you know, if it was 27 competitors, 26 could have, in my opinion, won.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's a tough gig.
Yeah. And that's the eye of the beholder. You know, there are some things you'll hear like, well, taper and maybe deep abs or stage presence. But ultimately, I mean, yes, you work on all of those things. But then it comes down to the whim of that head judge and what they perceive as the ultimate physique. And, of course, they'll claim that it's shaped around who shows up that day, which, yeah, if everybody comes in thick, then chances are it's going to be one of the thicker guys that walks away with the prize. Or if everybody comes in ultra shredded, then it's going to be one of those guys instead of the oddball out that, you know, looks like a refrigerator. So
right.
There are some general trends, but it's very difficult to say exactly how it's going to go. So, Dwayne.
Yeah, you get a lot of people saying, you know, they don't know what people are looking for from one show to the next. But you're right. Who shows up is kind of what makes the difference on that.
Well, and again, I've been screaming this since the beginning. Just bring what you want the division to be. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and chase it, and you create a body that you don't like, you've lost. I don't care how many
yep.
freaking medallions you have hanging off of your head. If you're not happy with where you are, then you've lost. So because that brief fleeting moment of here's your trophy doesn't last long. And with it being such a subjective sport, that's another thing to where, like you said before, Kentucky Muscle, you know, 95% of the guys could have taken home first place. So, yeah, you can talk about the glory days, but ultimately, are you happy with where you are?
Right.
So... Well, I should probably get this going back in the uplifting direction. So you have a show coming up this weekend. Tell us what you're looking at there.
Greater Gulf States Pro. It's about 23, according to the list that came out today, you have 23 competitors. And as I said earlier, I'm 38, so I'm going to do Masters as well. So I believe we have about 12 competitors in there. For the Open, which... is, you know, really where I want to be successful, because like everyone else, I want to be in the Olympia.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be really competitive based off of my performance over the last couple of shows. I kind of know what I need to work on. Top 10 would be great. Top 15 would be great as well. Obviously I want to win, but I just want to place well.
Yeah. Well, and come in at your best and just where the chips fall, they fall. It is so strange or so interesting seeing from one show a placement versus another show. I mean, you'll see guys come in top 10, and then next thing you know, last call out. I mean, just come in the best you can come in and call it a day.
Oh, you're right. And I, you know, as I said in Pittsburgh, I definitely wasn't as happy with what I brought to the stage. I think I tried to be something that I wasn't. To your point earlier, I tried to you know, compete against maybe a bigger guy, which I'm not a bigger guy. Mm-hmm. So my strength is going to be my conditioning, you know, how lean I come in, how wide my back is, and that's what I need to play off of. I'm not going to have the thickest chest. I'm not going to have the biggest shoulders. I'm not the biggest guy on stage, so I have to come with my strengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might as well come in, like you said, yeah, play to your strengths, play to your strengths. Try to mask the weakness, but play to the strengths for sure.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, great. Thanks for taking the time to join us here on the show. Do you have any shout outs or any final words before we let you go?
Yeah. You had mentioned some of the people at Junior Nationals. I'm from Maryland and DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia. We have a lot of great competitors and we had a ton of people in the show do well. You named, I believe, three of them that are from this area. They came top five in physique.
I think you mean I butchered their name.
One of them, Sharif. I think you might have butchered it.
Yeah, good. But, that's my goal. And every time I see a name, I just try to ruin it.
Yeah, so Sharif, Anwar, Jason McNeely, they all got top five. And, you know, I'm glad to see the DMV doing well. And then always, I have to give a shout-out to my wonderful wife. Because without her, you know, I really couldn't do a lot of the stuff that I do. So I truly appreciate everything she does.
Excellent. Well, Dwayne, thanks for taking the time to hop online with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
To our listeners, thanks for joining us thus far. Make sure you stay tuned. We'll be back after these short messages with IFBB Pro, Jim Holcomb.
Team Provo is a comprehensive contest prep diet coaching service specializing in men's and women's bodybuilding, men's physique, figure, bikini, and women's physique. Team Provo will address all your off-season and pre-contest nutrition needs. The results of Coach Phil's hands-on, attention-to-detail approach speak for themselves. To view testimonials, client picks, and more, visit www.teamprovo.com. To contact Coach Phil, please direct all inquiries to teamprovophil@gmail.com. Contact teamprovo.com to look the best you've ever been.
At 360 Cut, we think quality sports nutrition should be simple. It's not about the hype or the incredible claims. It's results. That's why we started 360 Cut. To help athletes sort through the far-fetched label claims and flashy advertising to find high-quality, effective sports supplements. At 360 Cut, our complete approach to sports nutrition provides our customers the supplements they need to perform at their best all day, every day.
Attention peptide fanatics, ErgoPep and US Elite Peptides have teamed up to provide the highest quality research peptides available in the industry. ErgoPep is now the official East Coast distributor of US Elite Peptides. And the new shared mission statement is simple, provide the highest quality products with the greatest bioavailability on the market. As the amino acid research industry struggles with compounds from China that are inconsistent, have low purities, and very little bioavailability, ErgoPep strives to set the bar higher. They do this by using only the highest quality U.S.-made raw materials and the best equipment the industry has to offer. Not only do they provide research products that surpass the quality of all others, but they also provide the HPLC and MS reports to prove it. Be sure to visit ErgoPep.com for all your peptide hormone needs.
Iron Mag Labs is the leading supplement company offering the most hardcore pro-anabolic supplements. Visit IronMagLabs.com and check out our top-selling products. Asta RX, Halo Extreme, Sinustain RX, E-Control RX, Decadrol Max, Ultramale RX. Iron Mag Labs makes supplements that actually work. No hype, no BS, just real results. There's a reason you keep hearing about Iron Mag Labs. Come see what you're missing. Visit Iron Mag Labs at Iron Mag Labs. Labs.com for the most hardcore bodybuilding supplements.
You're an experienced bodybuilder. You've been lifting for 10 years, maybe longer, but you haven't made gains in ages. So you start taking GATT's new advanced pre-training formula, NitroFlex. After only 14 days of NitroFlex, you gain 10 pounds on your bench, and your muscle stamina and testosterone level increase too. Sound too good to be true? Nope. This is exactly what happened in an IRB-approved clinical study that put NitroFlex to the test in experienced bodybuilders. NitroFlex really works in the lab and in the gym. So go to Team GATT right now. For a limited time, you'll get 25% off NitroFlex, plus free gifts. Go to TeamGAT.com now. Your training deserves it.
Hey guys, Dave Palumbo here. If you've been listening to my shows lately, then you know I've been talking about what I feel is probably the best tasting protein cookie I've ever sampled. What I'm talking about is the protein cookie from theproteincookiecompany.com. Now listen, this isn't just your average cookie product packaged with tons of artificial junk. This is a true cookie baked by my friends at theproteincookiecompany.com and made with premium natural and organic ingredients. Not only that, but this cookie has close to a whopping 18 grams of protein per cookie. This cookie is one of the best options out there for anyone looking for a clean snack or even meal replacement. I keep these things in my fridge and probably have 2 to 3 of them a day when I can't get a real meal in. They're 100% natural and they taste incredible, and there's a huge assortment of flavors. So here's the deal. These protein cookies are only available at theproteincookiecompany.com. So do yourself a favor. Click on the Protein Cookie Company banner on the RX Muscle homepage, or go to www.theproteincookiecompany.com and order a 6 or 12 pack of cookies today. You won't regret it.
Carrot cake, snickerdoodle, cake batter, banana bread, red velvet cake. These are just a few of the flavors you can choose when designing your own custom bag of oatmeal at myoatmeal.com. Myoatmeal.com allows you to create your own custom blend of outrageous oatmeal from the ground up. With over 70 ingredients to choose from, there are over 22 billion possible combinations. You tell us what to make, we make it and ship it to you. Myoatmeal.com.
Formastanzol is an amazing compound that should be part of every cycle, not only for muscle gains and fat loss, but for longevity and health. Formastanzol is one of the world's most potent aromatase inhibitors. Use Formastanzol for on-cycle estrogen and progesterone control, as a standalone anabolic fat burning agent, and during post-cycle therapy. Are you using Muscle Research's revolutionary transdermal Formastanzol? Available at MrSups.com with free shipping.
Hey guys, this is Dave Palumbo. You know there's been a lot of talk about pro-hormones over the last few years. I'll be honest, I've never been a huge fan of some of the stuff out there, mainly because you just don't know what it was or where it was from. But lately I've got a lot of positive feedback about a company called RealProHormones.com. So I took a look at some of their products, and they really have some great pro-hormone formulations that are guaranteed to help you get bigger, leaner, and harder without some of the pitfalls and dangers of real hormones. RealProHormones.com is a stand-up company with some incredible new products. They've got Testojet for all-out size, Tren for hardening up and leaning out, Decabolin for muscle maturity, and a host of other really nice anabolic compounds that will definitely help anyone get bigger and leaner fast. Check them out at www.realprohormones.com or click on the banner on the RX Muscle homepage. You can email them 24/7 and they'll answer any questions you may have and set up the right cycle for you. RealProHormones.com, guaranteed to be the most powerful pro hormone products on the planet.
Quest Bars from Quest Nutrition is Dave Palumbo's favorite protein bar. It's the only bar that's not simply a candy bar in disguise. There's no sugar or sugar alcohols, no soy, and zero trans fat. Quest Bars contain only the highest grade protein from whey and milk protein isolates. Quest Bars are also the lowest carb bar available, only 4 to 5 grams, and they all come from nuts. Quest Bars are also gluten-free. Quest Bars were specifically made for people who are serious about their physiques and who want the highest quality ingredients. Best of all, they taste great. Learn more about Quest Bars by visiting QuestProteinBar.com and try them out for yourself. Check out QuestProteinBar.com now.
Welcome back to the show. On the line with us now is Jim Holcomb. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ian.
Good to have you on here. So for our listeners, it's really funny, this division. You run into people, oh man, it shows across the country. And you never know if you're going to see them again or run into them every time you turn around. And Jim's one of those guys that I run into every time I turn around, it seems, even though we're on opposite sides of the country. Jim, what was it? I think USA's maybe 3 years ago where we first met.
I think it was 2012. Yeah. So 2 years ago.
Okay. Yeah. It was.
Yeah. We lined up next to each other.
Yep. So it's been a couple days since then, but you know, obviously since then you've done great. You've got your pro card. You've been on the circuit doing your thing. So
thank you.
Could you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself so they kind of know who you are and what you're about?
Well, I live in Orlando. I've been an engineer for Lockheed for about 20 years. So my full-time job is with Lockheed. I do military training systems for the Army. Mm-hmm. And in my spare time, I like to compete in men's physique. So
excellent.
I travel probably lately 40 weeks a year for work.
Wow.
So I tend to be on the road a lot, which has its advantages and its disadvantages, but not too bad.
Well, so you're one of the two competitors that aren't personal trainers. Congratulations.
Feels that way.
But being on the road, now that's something that people use as an excuse quite frequently. But you said that it does have some advantages. So what would you say are ways to get around making it an excuse, and what are the advantages?
You know, I mean, last week I traveled 45 weeks. It's the same year I won my pro card. So it's one of those... By necessity, I started traveling almost full-time in October of 2012. So it just became a necessity to figure out how to prep on the road. So, you know, making adjustments, I travel with my George Foreman grill. I started drinking egg whites more than a year ago, which really helps. You know, I'm in hotels all the time, which I usually have a refrigerator and a microwave, but I don't have much opportunity to cook
right
outside of microwave. So, you know, Uncle Ben's brown rice for my rice. You know, I typically don't eat sweet potato on the road. It's just a little too much time for prep. So it's really George Foreman chicken. You know, you figure out which places you can eat out. You know, I'm on a lot of military bases, and usually when you go to the PX for lunch, you know, there's Charlie's Steaks. So I can go and I have my steak salad every day, double steak. So, you know, it's just kind of a matter of figuring it out and just kind of sticking with it.
Well, and just a quick note here, too, and I know this isn't Red Book and Cooking Time, but I don't know, you probably know this, but for our listeners that may not, if yams or sweet potatoes are on your diet and you're traveling, they're really easy to make in the microwave if you have a few minutes. Just a quick note, basically, you know, rinse it off, poke some holes in it with a fork, quite a few holes because you don't want that thing exploding, wrap it in a sheet of paper towel, and just microwave it for 6 minutes, maybe 7 minutes.
You know, I do that when I'm at home, but, mm-hmm. you know, part of the issue for me is just time. I get up in the morning.
Well, if you're rushing out the door, that's another story, yeah.
You know, I try to get up about 5 o'clock in the morning because I hit my cardio before I go to work,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, you know, I can microwave rice in 90 seconds. I can dump it straight from the bag into my lunch container.
Yep.
Sweet potatoes, it's 6 minutes, and then you got to wait till it cools off or you're going to burn your hands, and it just turns into about a 10-15-minute task. So,
well, if you're working on security systems for microwaves, you do have things figured out to the second.
You know, I mean, it really is. I've had to optimize prep.
Yep.
And sweet potatoes takes an extra 10 minutes over rice. And 10 minutes for me is very important in the morning.
Got it. Well,
same thing with drinking egg whites. I can drink egg whites in 30 seconds.
Oh, versus cooking them.
Yeah. I can drink them faster than I can eat them, you know, mm-hmm. regardless of the cook time.
Well, and this is a matter of, I don't want to call it sacrifice, but just making the decision to make breakfast happen. And because a lot of guys, you know, they just kind of get on their way and they start, it's easy to forget the breakfast and just move on. But you know, you can grab, like you say, your egg whites. This is, of course, not saying you should drink raw eggs, but most people do and love it. but just getting past,
you know, you get pasteurized egg. Just make sure on the container that they're pasteurized. And if they're pasteurized, it's fine.
You're good then. Yep.
And make sure you get 100% egg whites. Don't get the ones that have the additives in the mixers, because then it makes them thick and slimy, and you don't want to drink them.
So no.
100% egg whites. That's what you want.
Just call it a day. Just egg white it up and be done with it.
And you know, you throw sugar-free chocolate syrup in there, and they're delicious.
Ah, okay. There we go. Now we have a recipe we can use, and it only takes just a moment to prepare.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Easy enough.
So, Jim, how did you get into competing?
You know, I played a lot of team sports. You know, I mean, when I was in school, I did a lot of intramural sports. I was also a circus performer, so I kind of had athletics in my background.
Hmm.
And then, you know, started working for Lockheed, kept with the intramural sports. I played football, you know, softball, volleyball. And just as I got older and just started getting more and more injuries, it's just one of those, it just hurt too much,
mm-hmm.
the day after flag football or the day I played in the softball tournament, and just all the issues involved with that. I just always like to be athletic and competitive and just feel like I need something to get me out of work. Otherwise, I would be at work for, you know, 12 hours a day instead of 10 hours a day or whatever. So it just seemed like a good option for me. You know, being in the gym and doing cardio, it's all controlled movements, little risk for injury. And as I got older, it just seemed to be the right move for me is to go into competitive bodybuilding,
mm-hmm.
which then, you know, transitioned into physique in 2011. So I managed to still keep some sort of athletic competition in my life without risking injury as much.
Well, and you mentioned controlled movements, and that's an important point because you'll hear this may or may not apply so much to the master's group that we're talking about now, but you're talking about kids. Oh, you don't want your I don't want my 12-year-old lifting weights because they might get hurt. But yet they'll let them run around on a soccer field and break ankles.
I've twisted more ankles stepping in holes in football fields than I can count.
Exactly. And what they don't understand is that weight training actually reduces the risk of injury, and it does not stunt growth. If someone is telling you that, you probably should punch them in the teeth and then just walk on. That's just my humble and controlled opinion.
I can tell you my only injury last year was snowboarding in Alaska. I hadn't been snowboarding in probably 15 years. I was working in Alaska, and I thought, man, you know, it's 20 minutes away. It's a great chance. I got the day off. Let's go snowboarding. First day was fine. Second day, I was feeling a little more confident because I was moving around and everything was good, and I kind of got a little aggressive and separated shoulder.
Oh, man. Yeah,
never happens in the gym, though. Always happens in, you know, when I'm doing something that probably isn't the best idea. But it was fun.
Well, as long as you had a good time and you're healed up from it, it's all good. But yeah, and it does become a risk versus reward when you are competing at the level that we compete, because you can have some fun, which is the reward. But then what is the risk? What are you going to break? And is it really worth the risk? And these are the questions you just have to ask yourself. How much do you love snowboarding? How much do you love competing? How much do you love playing basketball? How much do you love competing? You know, there are all these questions, and that's up for each person to decide, of course. But speaking
of competing. Well, I can tell you
go ahead.
I was going to say, when I was in Alaska in March this year working, I did not go snowboarding. So, you know, they wanted me to go snowboarding. I said, okay, you know what? I did that last year. I was taken out from training for a few months from it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not worth it. It's just not worth that risk anymore. So,
but you're talking now though about the show or getting ready for a show, and it's not worth the risk because you're going to be stepping on stage, and that's the greater Gulf States you're going to be hitting, correct?
Correct.
And now you're going to be doing Open and Masters, so hitting both of those. And what are you expecting? We just had Dwayne Brickhouse on the line, by the way, who I had no idea is a Masters competitor as well, but he's doing both.
You know, I was surprised when I saw the list. I did not realize he was over 35.
Yeah, I had no idea. Here, I thought I was talking, yeah, and then I was like, holy cow. I mean, four kids. If I had four kids, I would look like I was 70. Not that I don't already look 60, but it would definitely put at least 10 years on me.
All right.
So what are you anticipating coming into this show?
You know, I'm really anxious to see, you know, this will be my first chance to compete as a Masters physique. So I'm just really excited and just really interested in seeing how that's going to go, how it might be different from open class. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll know Sunday. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it would definitely be an interesting comparison to see, like you said, how it is in open versus masters, because in the open division, of course we have guys that are younger than you and I have been working out. That's what I like to say usually, because it's 22 years now, I think. Yeah, 22 years I've been lifting. And for you, I'm sure it's a lot of years. And, of course, with your circus background and all that stuff, you've been working out forever. So you're competing against guys that have been – they were still hanging off their mom's nipple when we were bench pressing and deadlifting. So there's
I was actually 30 years. I've been lifting for 30 years, so yeah.
So yeah, they've been hanging off those teats for quite some time while you were already cranking out the weights, and of course that creates
right.
a different look when it comes to muscle maturity.
Absolutely.
So stacking a 20-year-old next to a 30-plus, 40-plus, it is an interesting comparison, and I just I'm curious to see how you do in Open as well as Masters, and of course, wish you the best of luck this weekend.
Hey, I appreciate that.
So anything else, any unique challenges coming into this final prep that maybe you're working on overcoming or just has been smooth sailing?
I don't know if I'd say it's smooth sailing. It's same challenges. I've been traveling a lot. I do my best to not ever do business travel on contest week. So I got back from Louisville. I've been at Fort Knox.
Okay.
I got back Saturday. And I'm at home and getting my final prep together leave Thursday. So I try my best to not travel during contest weeks. So usually this week is pretty smooth sailing. I have my diet squared away. I make a little bit of changes, I think, from show to show, just depending on how I think I am conditioning-wise. I may make some adjustments, but it's kind of pretty straightforward for me now.
Mm-hmm.
Just want to get there without any travel interruptions. Dallas was kind of a mess trying to get there, but we all had a bit of a mess getting to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Just get there without travel interruptions, get settled in, and just plug along, you know?
Nice. Well, just wanted to ask you quickly, too, what is your, if you had to categorize your training style and what you work with when it comes to reps and sets, how would you put it?
You know, as I got into my 40s, I stopped training everything twice a week. I train everything once a week. I don't go heavy to the point that I can't do 8 to 10 reps. But I also don't go so light that I could do 15. So my goals are always to do enough weight in each of my exercises to burn out at 8 to 10 reps,
mm-hmm.
But not so much that I can't get there. I usually start with my heaviest movements first and then move into my stabilizer muscles towards the end. I try to incorporate some sort of core exercise, maybe you're just working one side at a time, at least a couple times a week to strengthen my core.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, slow and steady wins the race, kind of for me, would be my characterization, I would say.
Interesting. Interesting you say the isolado or single side movement here, because it's one of the things that my clients will ask me about on occasion, and only on rare occasion do I do single arm movements for that reason. So it's interesting to hear the comparison and contradiction in training styles. For instance, in my theory is, if you're doing a heavy single arm dumbbell row, you have a lot of activation through that midsection. And when if you're really trying to bring the waist down as much as possible, we want some atrophy of the musculature in the midsection. So then it becomes a difference of aesthetics versus athletics. But that's not to say that's for everyone. It's just interesting to hear your take on it and why you do something like that. And if it's just one exercise or so, I guess that's probably good to keep things tight without worrying too much hypertrophy.
Like, for example, I'll do, not every week, but about every third week, I will do single arm dumbbell presses.
Okay.
So, I feel like when I do that, I'm forcing my core to stay resistive to the movement, where if you have the same weight on both sides, you're counterbalancing the weights and you're really not stressing the core. So if I do a single arm dumbbell, or if I do a one-sided chest press on the hammer strength, mm-hmm. again, it's forcing me to keep that resistance in my torso versus using the weight on the other side of my body to balance it out. So I just always feel like I get a little bit of a bonus core workout by doing that.
Interesting. I like it. I mean, that's why we have these discussions, because everybody has their own. There are, of course, the basics, but then there are variations thereof that may be great for some people, maybe not great for other people, and it's just a matter of rhyme and reasoning and deciding if it is right for you, either way.
And back to the discussion before, everything for me is very slow and controlled. I don't do any bursty exercises at all. For me, that's, it's too much risk for injury, any quick movement.
Mm-hmm.
As I've gotten older, I've definitely changed my workout. So, and I expect I'll continue to do that as I move forward.
Well, and that's being smart. It's a matter of understanding how far to push the body and in which ways to push the body. And if now let's say you were to be entering a sprinting competition, your training would be different than that which is for stepping on stage to show the best looking physique. So
absolutely,
the style of training needs to reflect the ultimate goal. And for you, the goal, of course, is to look great on stage. And that's going to be
absolutely
a different style of training.
No one cares how much I can bench press when I'm on stage.
I do. just messing with
you. I'm glad somebody does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny because people always ask me, I haven't done a bench press, a traditional bench press, in I would say at least 5 years.
Yep. You and I are in a similar boat there. When I was at my strongest, I'd press, 405, no shirt, raw, and clean. And now, though, it's like I use dumbbells 95% of the time. The number I can press on a bench press, I have no idea anymore. And I'm sure it's under 400 pounds, but my chest looks better training the way that I do now.
Right.
And I'm sure you feel the same way about that.
Yeah, I do. Who knows how much I could bench press, but I probably wouldn't try because I would probably, strain my elbow or something because I would try to lift too much.
Well, it's funny. Well, I was coming back from USA's last year. I was just working a booth, and RX Muscle was doing this bros versus pros thing, and it was a bench press competition, and I don't bench press anymore, not barbell, except for on a rare occasion. Actually, I started after that again, doing it some, but not much. Well, anyway, they were doing this bench press competition, which was 315 pounds for max reps, or 225 for max reps, if you were under like 225 pounds, which I'm well under that anymore. And I get to the competition, and I was the only guy that was under 2 1/4. So they're like, well, why don't you just work with 315? And I said, son of a bitch. I said, at my best, I did it like 13 reps with 315 was my personal best ever. I would normally be around 9 to 10 reps. But I hadn't done it for years. And I mean, I ended up getting 6-7 reps, but it was just like, I felt it in my pec. I mean, I strained something because I hadn't done it for so long, and you just, I wasn't smart in that situation. So I should have taken a page out of the gym book and been a little smarter.
You should have told them, give me 225. I'm going to do my one rep. You can give me first place and I'll be on my way.
Well, the thing about it was, I don't remember the guy's name, but he is a freaking animal. He did 315 for, I want to say it was like 45, 48 reps. And he just racked it. He could have kept going. It was stupid. Just stupid because, originally I was thinking, all right, 225, my best with that was low 30s. When I used to train for a combine, and I thought, okay, I'll at least be able to put at least something competitive. And then when he's doing 40 plus at 315, I said, oh, forget that.
You should have taken the 225, taken your first place trophy and gone on about your business.
Yeah, Palumbo, just, thanks for coming. Get your ass out of here is what I got. Well, Jim, thanks for taking the time to hop on the line here with us. I want to wish you good luck this weekend, of course, you and Dwayne both. Any final words before we let you go?
No, just appreciate you having me on, and hopefully people come out and support the Masters Division. Hopefully we can grow that a little more and see what happens.
Excellent. Well, Jim, thanks again. And to our listeners.
All right, Ian, I appreciate it.
You are welcome. To our listeners, make sure you check back in next week for another great show, and thanks for joining us today.